Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
And I guess what? I guess you're waiting for the fabulous intro to the Covenant Cafe. We're back to banking hours. Yes, we're getting it in here in the Covenant Cafe. Situation, He said, you know, everybody looking at me like I'm the enemy. Right up in here in the church, I'm not your enemy. The people out there are your enemy. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, so I'm sorry. Go ahead. It's interesting.
And that's one thing that's really true. You know, we in the body calling one another enemies. But that's the thing about. Remember before earlier when D first brought me on the show, I was talking about how my elbow and my knee, they're not bumping heads. So my knee has one function and my elbow, so they're content.
Mm-hmm.
My leg knows he has to do the standing and the walking, and my arm knows it has to do the lifting from time to time. They're content mm-hmm. with what they're supposed to do. Therefore, my arm doesn't call the leg enemy. So us in the body, because we are the body of Christ, we have to be content with our roles.
Mm-hmm.
Lamont, you're the lead host. I'm the supporting host. So that means I would do the dirty work from time to time and let you lead. That's how it goes. I have to be content with my role just like you are content with your role. This is how it is. So that's how we are in the body of Christ. Everybody's not going to shine. Everybody's not going to be, you know, in the limelight. And there's some people who is going to do the back work, you know, behind-scenes work, who don't get acknowledged. That's just how it goes, but there should not be any hating. The second part of what the Lord has shown me with this is even my pastor speaking on about the enemies being outside. That is just because they are enemies, that doesn't mean we treat them wrong because we are the light. So since we're the light, we have to love them because that's what the word just said. The word
mm-hmm.
just said, love your enemies. Love those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. So because, say, you have a boss, you go on a job, and he's just doing you dirty, that don't mean you still have you come to work with an attitude. No, you still pray for them. Because if you were a Christian, now, if you don't want to be a Christian, that's a whole other story.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the standard that God expects us to be at. God is telling us straight up, somebody hate on you, you don't hate on them back. Somebody do you wrong, you don't do them wrong back. You don't find ways to retaliate. You find ways to love them. We have to start operating at God's standard. So that means we loving our body. We loving the people people around us in the Christian faith. Those are our blood. They're not our enemies. And on top of that, those who are our enemies, we have to love them as well. We have to be different. There has to be a difference between saints and sinners.
Okay, well, can I play devil's advocate? Can I play this is what I'm going to do today. I'm going to play devil's advocate right now. So you say you can't hate our enemy, right?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, everybody always assumes that it's outside your family as your enemy.
Right.
So sometimes the enemy lies within your family.
Could be.
So am I allowed to hate them, or am I supposed to love them just as much as the person that's being my enemy that's outside of my family?
Well,
are they on the same playing field?
Okay, this is the playing field. If your family is Christian, if everybody in your family is Christian, then they're not your enemy, period. Straight up, regardless of what they do to you, they're not your enemy. If they're Christian, but on top of that,
mm-hmm.
looking outside of that, because, you know, you can have your blood that's going to dislike you and hate you and do awful things to you, and they might be unsaved, and they could be a form of enemy. Well, according to the word, even if they are your enemy, you're still supposed to love them. You're still supposed to pray for them. The whole thing is, we're going to come against problems. The world is going to hate us. You know, all that's in the word. The thing is, our mindset can't be focused on looking for ways to retaliate, looking at ways for an eye for an eye, looking for ways to make them suffer how we feel. That's the whole mindset.
Even if they're trying to stop sabotage your upcoming, making moves.
Well, who am I making moves for?
You know what I'm saying? Like, are you supposed to love these people, even if they're trying to hold you back from your progress?
You have to look at, like, what is your degree of love? What is the love that you're giving? You know what I mean? Because you can love somebody for a distance. Like, I'm okay, this person don't want me in their life, this person doing this and that, but I'm still praying for them. I'm not praying wicked stuff against them, because I've heard people pray, Lord, strike them down, because look how they treat me. Like, that's not even love.
Okay.
So you
I just want to make sure that's clear.
Yeah, we can be clear. The clear thing about the whole thing is
mm-hmm.
we operate in love. And what is love? Love is long-suffering. Love endured. This is what Corinthians tell us love is. Love does not plan evil. Love is not envious. These are things that we can do to at least for ourselves. Mm-hmm. We can't change people. That's not our goal. We can change ourselves. So our mentality and our focus can be better, can strive to better. Okay, I know this person don't like me, but I can do my best to not act like them. I can do my best to not sink to their level. I could do my best and strengthen my, because even we saw how they did Jesus. It was so trifling, but you did not see Jesus curse them back, punch them back, spit on them back. That's a love right there. That's a standard that we have to hit. So, yeah, people in your own family can hate you. Because you remember when Jesus came back to Nazareth to preach, they were like, ain't that the carpenter's son, man? Who is he? But you can see him fussing and shooting people or none of that crazy stuff or spitting on people. He did what he was supposed to do, what God told him to do. He kept it moving. That's how we have to, we do what God tells us to do and keep it moving. But we're not looking to retaliate or to fight or to prove ourselves.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you know what? I'm going to have to give you something for that. That was just on the money.
Glory to God.
You know, these guys, they love it when you go in like that. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
They love God. I'm glad we got them on the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, Boy That Makes Is definitely going to bring you the news of what's going on around the world. But, you know, because it's playoffs, I have to mention something about the playoffs right now. Ladies and gentlemen, if you watched the games earlier this week, yesterday, you had Green Bay playing San Francisco, as well as Baltimore playing Denver. Baltimore beat Denver in an overtime matchup, two overtimes at that, 38-35.
Mm-hmm.
Green Bay fell to San Francisco 49ers, 45-31. And Atlanta beat Seattle in a nail biter today, 30-28. And one of the games that's underway that's playing right now is it's the Texans and the Patriots. The Patriots is winning right now 24-13. It's 9 minutes into the third quarter, or 9 minutes left in the third quarter. So that is your NFL wrap up. So those are your teams that is going on right now. Once again, your winners are Baltimore, Atlanta, San Francisco. Now, let me tell you something. I know that you're going to touch. I know you about to do the news. I want to touch on something. It's interesting how things work out for people. Right now, Baltimore is in the conference championship. However, this has happened to be Ray Lewis. This is his last year after 17 seasons. So he's one step away from playing in the Super Bowl. Nothing's guaranteed. But however, he is right at the door of the Super Bowl for his last year in the league. And that's something. That's some good stuff. And you know, you always got to be thankful of what happens in people's lives. You know, definitely gives them props. I mean, to be in the NFL for 17 seasons, you know, is an awesome thing. And you know, they say NFL stands for not for long.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been in it through all types of injuries and setbacks and stuff like that, and he persevered. And, you know, you got to make sure you have the understanding that whatever your goals are, your dreams, make sure when you reach your dreams, make sure you change that dream into a goal. You know, because at a certain point, you definitely have gotten to where you say, these are my dreams. Once you reach that point that you're within your dreams, make them your goals to the next level. And, you know, apparently, you know, I'm not sure if his personal life, religion, and beliefs, but I know he likes to quote, you know, scriptures and stuff like that. But however, he's doing something or somebody's been praying for this guy for a long time. You know, so I just want to put that out there. I mean, anything is possible. You know, you might fight against a lot of odds. And as a matter of fact, in the earliest career, he was involved in some type of murder case, which is interesting. But however, he persevered through that. Of course, he didn't have anything directly to do with that, but I think it was somebody in his entourage or something of that nature. But he was in a lot of trouble early in his career. And look where he's at now.
Right, sure.
You know, so sometimes you can't let the worst of things that's in your life get you down and hold you back.
Right.
Because it's easy to give up, and it's hard to persevere. You know what I'm saying? What they say, I'm trying to think of the line. They say anything that's worth fighting for is definitely going to be a hard situation in the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So I'm sorry. That's been a fail for today. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what's going on in the world there?
Man, to get all this, I know we're going to have to go into a song sooner or later. This is, all right, today's news is pretty good. It's pretty good. Well, it's always pretty good. News is always news. So, for starters, since we want to come off of sports, see, all you Laker fans, me included,
wow.
Kobe Bryant and his wife, they are calling off the divorce. Can I get a hand clap?
Oh, are you, wait, hold on. Okay, we're gonna deal with the rowdy. Wait, okay.
Even if you're not a Laker fan, I mean, it's still good news that it's had, because we don't like divorce. On this Christian side, we don't like divorce. So for them to Vanessa Bryant is saying that she wants to really work it out. She wants to continue her journey with Kobe, and Kobe's feeling the same way. This is good news, and I feel like it needs to be shared.
Awesome.
Definitely, that's the first thing. So we're going to keep going down with some good news. The next good news. So as you know, we dealt with the Sandy Hook incident not too long ago at the end of the 2012 year. We almost had a similar event take place.
Mm-hmm.
Down in California, in Bakersfield, California, we have a teacher who talked an armed student into giving up his gun. This teacher was face-to-face with a 16-year-old student who was holding a shotgun. Mr. Ryan Hebert, 40 years old, he talked to the teen, trying to persuade him to end the armed assault because he had already shot one student.
Hmm.
Hebert had no idea that the student had a pocket full of ammunition, and he was ready to gun more down. But his persuasive talk, it ended up causing the student to give up the firearm, and police came on the scene. So it's amazing how, you know, you don't know what could have happened. You know, a lot of times, you know, a lot of people say, if I would have just did this, it may have turned out differently. Or if I would have never showed up, it would have never happened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have this one teacher who, not saying what if I would have spoke up. He stood face to face with gunmen.
Mm-hmm.
And politely, and obviously it was the correct way he handled the situation into speaking to the student to turn over the gun, into ending this assault. The student is actually in critical, he's actually in stable condition right now in the hospital. So, you know, we do have a survivor,
mm-hmm.
and things didn't get the way it could have been. So definitely kudos to Ryan
Hebert. It's interesting that you brought that up because I was watching a news story this week where they are developing bulletproof book bags.
Bulletproof
for the kids.
Book bags.
Mm. Yeah, and they're running at $400 once they hit the market. Bulletproof book bags. And they're going to definitely, once those hit the streets and whatnot, they're going to be giving training to the schools and the parents on how to protect their children when they, you know, how the children can protect themselves if they purchase those book bags.
Mm.
It's pretty
That's
sad. It's sad that it's come to a point where you have to think about that because you're going to school.
Right.
You know what I mean? Elementary school, you know, it don't matter now. It could be any school.
Man, I remember the days when we used to have, like, the clear. I remember, I was in middle school, maybe. Now they're talking bulletproof bags. When I was in middle school, I know we had to have, like, clear backpacks or the mesh backpacks just so the student, teachers, and officials could see through your bag just to make sure there was nothing in there as far as dangerous or even illegal substances such as drugs, because, you know, people were selling weed at the school or people had firearms. But nobody was using the firearms on other students, but they was having it for protection because of drug sales after school. So we had to do that. But as far as, you know, I never thought of the day comes where, okay, now we need bulletproof backpacks and possibly we're going to come out with some bulletproof outfits for the kids. Like, you know, that might be a good idea. I just patent that. Y'all can't take it. I'm going to come out with a bulletproof line of clothes.
Yeah.
In every hood store out
there. Outfit. Wow.
Yeah. It's going on with, you know, somebody who stood up for honor and protecting people. It just was announced that Clinton Ramisha, he will be receiving the Medal of Honor next month from President Obama. He's a former Army staff agent that fought, who had an onslaught out in the Afghanistan year in 2009. He definitely did a lot of work. His prestiges are very long, but according to citations accompanying this award, he estimated he, you know, fought 300 enemies that was occupying high grounds and complex. He uncovered intense enemy fire under multiple times of muster reinforcements and attacks. He took out enemy machine guns while engaging a second. He was wounded. This guy was just the truth. Can you imagine somebody all shot up and still taking out the enemy?
That's just crazy.
So deserving the Medal of Honor, we definitely give him a great kudos.
Okay, we're going to have to go to the line real quick. Let's go to line one. Hold on. Let me see if this thing is rendering. Caller, you're on the air on the Covenant Cafe.
Good evening. I was calling in. I'm Trinity from Houston.
Trinity.
What's going
on,
buddy?
Oh, man.
How's everything going?
Oh, man. Everything's wonderful, man.
Oh, everything's going great, one day at a time, because two would be too many. You know what I mean?
I can dig that.
So let's give our guests a round of applause. We'll call it in here. Now, Poetic will be doing the interview.
How you doing, Trinity?
Yes, sir. How are you?
Before we even start, man, I definitely just want to say how I commend you as a man of God. I'm very, very thankful. It's always an honor when I get to speak to another soldier on the battlefield or just a man of God, period, who's just boldly proclaiming who he's with, who he stands for, and what the truth is. So definitely I'm honored to speak with you right now.
Ah, bless God, man. I thank you guys for giving me this opportunity to just be able to call in.
Boy, so I read your bio, straight up. I looked at the music and all that stuff. But I'm gonna act like I didn't look at it, and we're gonna act like we didn't promote it. We're gonna act like nobody knows. So with that being said, we all want to know, who is Trinity, this artist from Houston? Who is that?
Oh, man, Trinity is a artist, man, who's completely sold out to God, man. Of course, he was a mess before the sellout, but God saw fit to keep me, man, and God saw fit to use me on his mission field. And so, man, Trinity is just a God, man, that's attempting to be about his Father's business, man.
Interesting.
Now, what's powerful is you said you were in a mess. You know, dealt with some mess and whatnot. And from what I know, because, you know, I know a little bit about somebody used to be in the streets in North Houston. So with that being said, you sound like somebody we can relate to. So we want to know, what have you been through? What have you dealt with? What makes God so good? What has he done for you, for us to want to cling to God? Because we deal with a lot of people, or some of us don't feel like we have a reason to believe. So we want to hear your story, your testimony, as short as possible, of course.
Man, I tell you the truth, man. Just to hear you say, when you said God is so good, man, I started to shout right in my seat, man. Because, man, God is, man. I had a brother tell me, man, he said, man, chicken is good, God is great, man. And so, man, I'm just grateful, man, because, man, see, when I came up in North Houston, man, I had the typical urban youth tale, man, you know, money, women, respect. I'm trying to get it all, man. And somewhere in the midst of it, man, I became addicted, man, to embalming fluid, man. So I was what we call it here in Houston, wet, man. And so, man, I was addicted to smoking on wet. And, you know, man, I'm so grateful, you know. And when you said God was so good, man, I wanted to shout because, man, I've got buddies now, man, friends now that smoke this stuff, man. They actually got stuck in their mental capacity, man. It's like they take medication, man. So just to know that God didn't allow the enemy to bring me into that realm, and God kept his hands on me, man, and he made the enemy behave long enough to where I could make a conscious decision, you know. And so, man, just growing up in North Houston, man, we seen a lot, but, hey, that's pretty much every block in America, you know what I'm saying? The only thing that's different is our styles or whatever, our dialogue or whatever. But, man, God came into my life, man, growing up with my father on drugs, man, him in and out. I'm having to walk the streets at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning to see what dope house he in, you know. Man, God started with him by delivering him. Then he began to pull me in, and, man, he engrafted me, and then he took my heart, man. And so, I mean, I can go on and on, man, but typically, you know what I'm saying, I was a mess, you know what I'm saying, which qualifies me to have a message for God.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
No, real quick, just to quote Steve Harvey, I always quote this guy, and he always says, don't worry, you know, he's not worried because God's not through with him yet. And that's the same mentality that you have right now, and that's one we all should have, because I'm not going to get on a soapbox real quick. Well, I actually got something to say. Here's the deal. You know, there are people who give thanks for God for moving in their lives. And then you have those who are holier than thou quotations where they think that they've never been in the dirt, and when they hear somebody talking about dirt, they, oh, my ears are burning. You know, we need to help those individuals as well, but especially guys like you, you know, you went through it, you're talking about it, and you're still moving forward, and it takes a lot of motivation and energy to move through those situations. I grew up in Detroit, so I'm seeing a lot myself, you know. So, you know, from domestic violence to bodies in the field, going to the store, you know, I've seen stuff like that. So, you know, so I understand from a standpoint of what you're going through with. Another standpoint where I haven't been in your shoes as far as the road that you've traveled, but you explain it to people, the road that you travel is not a road, and you're trying to change your life. That's a good thing.
Amen. Bless God. And you know, man, the blessed part about it is this year, man, when God begins, and see, this is what I tell people now, you know, because I'm still out here in these streets, man, and the very thing that God has done for me, I'm sharing and I'm telling brothers, man, God is ready and he's willing to do it for you, but the only thing you have to do is give him your heart, you know. The Word of God says that, man, we don't even know what to pray for, therefore the Holy Spirit actually intercedes us, but yet and still it's our responsibility to go down on our knees, you know what I'm saying? And so even when God begins to stir up a desire to even want to know him, man, everybody don't want to know him. So, man, and when God begins to stir up a desire to even want to know him, man, I just encourage brothers, man, when you hear him knocking, man, please open the door, man, and let him come in and walk through the house. Don't lead him through it. Let him walk through it. Yes, sir.
Man,
I personally just love the fact of how transparent you are, because, you know, as an artist, you are a rising star, and for people to hear what you've been through, I know it's tearing down strongholds, because, you know, a lot of times people look at the posters, or they look at or listen to the music, or they see the profile, and they're like, well, it ain't me. It ain't like it's going to happen for me. But to hear where you're from and where you're going, it's a blessing, and I praise God for you. I have another question that I rarely ask, but I want to know, can you share, like, that, what was the exact moment like when God told you, or when God called you, when you knew that God is telling you that this is you need to proclaim his gospel. Like, you need to come up, and this is what I want you to do.
Man, I remember this day, man, like, wow, man, this day here, man, this particular evening here, man, it was one evening out here in Houston, man. I had lost both of my vehicles, man. I was actually on the city bus, man. I was in some legal trouble dealing with the police and everything. And this particular evening, man, I caught the bus. I caught a bus from the south side of Houston to the north side of Houston, man. And I was on a mission this night, man, to go get me a bottle of wet, man. It's formaldehyde. And, man, I was walking down the road, and as I came, I approached the yard, man. It had a tree in this yard. And, you know, I'm sober at this time, but I get by this tree and I heard something. It said, look at you. You'll catch a bus to come get the drugs, but you won't catch a bus to church. And, you know, man, I'm like, man, I'm sober right now, and I heard what I heard. And so, man, you know, I started power walking through that little spot, man, and I get to the street, man, and they had a church service going on, but I'm like, man, something pushing me to the church, but I'm like, I heard what I heard, but I'm not going enough. What I want is right next door. So to make a long story short, man, this is what I saw, and this is what happened, and this is when God began to pull me out, and God began to do his work in my life. I got this drug, man. I had to come back up by the street where I heard what I heard. So I kind of sprinted through that little area, and I got back to the bus stop, man. I smoked when we dip a cigarette in Embalming Fluid here, we call it a sherm. And so I smoked the sherm by myself, and I threw the butt on the ground, and I turned, and the bus was right there. I get on this metro, this city bus, man, and normally I would shoot straight to the back of the bus, but something stopped me this time in the middle of the bus. When I sat down in the middle of this bus, man, I broke, and tears just began to fall from my face, man. And I looked up at the top of this bus, and this bus, in the ceiling, it had broke down into four different movie screens at the top of this bus. And God began to show things that he was about to do in my life. I know it was God because everything I saw in the top of that bus came to pass. God took me from the city of Houston. God, he cleaned me up. He delivered me, you know. It's the difference between being saved and being delivered. You know what I'm saying? We have to be saved and delivered. And God, he took me from Houston. He cleaned me up, man. He filled me with his word, man, and he did the work. And man, November made 10 years, man, and I've been running for God ever since. And that's how I know, you know. And the things that I speak, man, I know it's not me because I give you a whole bunch of nonsense. I know that it's God because, man, I'm not smart enough to comprehend half the stuff, man. And so that's how I know that God, he called me and he sent me back into the battlefield.
That's awesome. Now, we have a song by, of course, your song. And it's called Do You Know. Can you give me a little background before we go into that?
Okay, that's the song Do You Know, man. That song came from a place where it's like, man, you know, people think that once you get saved, everything will be peaches and cream. And, you know, some people know how to dress up real well, man. And you can see a person can be broke and you don't even know that they broke because of the way that they carry themselves, you know. And so some people believe that Christians, some Christians have it all together. And this could be because of the picture that a lot of Christians portray or whatnot. And they selling a false image, you know. We have to be transparent with people. And so the song Do You Know, it simply says, do you know what it's like when your faith is tested? Let me know that, look, man, I've been walking with God. At that time, I had been walking at least 8 to 9.5 years. And, man, my faith is still tested. The word of God said that our faith will be tested. And so the song simply says, do you know what it's like when your faith is tested? Every resource you have has been arrested. And it's saying, man, you can't go to mama and get no money. You can't go to daddy. Granny to cut you off, man. And it's simply saying, do you know what it's like? But in the content of the song, man, it lets you know that regardless of what that is, God is still Jehovah Jireh.
That's awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, Trinity, do you know? And we're going to come right back to you after the song, okay? So hang around, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Do you know Trinity here on the Covenant Cafe?
Thank you. Do you know what it's like when your face is tested? Every resource you have help being arrested. But God is a child, he can hold his own. Do you know what it's like just trying to hold on? Do you know what it's like when your face is tested? Every resource you have help being arrested. But God is a child, he can hold his own. Do you know what it's like just trying to hold on?
I'm willing to y'all trying to get to the light, man. I'm here to try to take the nigga just like a light, man. I'm headed to the front, I was up in the back. I'm here for love, my stomach is such a mess. And I'm far from blind, can't see the love. I'm feeling dirty and need the baby.
www.destin2shinerecords.com.
Excellent stuff. That's good. My last question before I turn you into Lamont. No, I got two questions. Question number one. So where did your name come from?
Oh, man, my name, man, the Lord actually gave me that name, man. And, you know, as I begin to look at it and how things transpire in the Bible, man, I see that when God really put his hands on you, man, your name does change. And it was crazy because, man, I was looking for a stage name, and I come up with some stuff, but then the Spirit spoke and said, your name will be Trinity. And I don't want that name. That's a girl's name. I'm not going to take that name. And he said, okay. And he didn't allow me to record nothing until I accepted the name. And so once I accepted the name, he allowed us to go forth. But the name represents the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. It represents our own triune natural man, as well as it represents where I was delivered from, which was the streets of Trinity, God.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Now, this is my last question. I heard you mention it, but I really want to know. Can you fry chicken?
Well, man, I don't know. I tried one time and forgot the flour, man. I forgot the flour, man. I called my mom. I say, Mom, man, my chicken don't taste right. Something wrong with it. And so I found out I forgot to put the flour.
Can't forget the flour. See, what I'm trying to do is I want to have this big old fried chicken off. I look at all the artists we had on the show and the whole D-Hour family together, and we're just going to eat fried chicken, and we're going to bring our music, and we're going to have a good time. So I'm going to be the judge. I'm not cooking, but I love me some fried chicken, and I want to see if you was down with the movement.
Hey, man, well, yeah, I'll be down with the movie, man. But you got to eat what come out the grease.
You're not going to cook. You're going to be the first one I'm telling not to cook. You're the first person I ever said that to. You're not cooking this fried chicken out, bro.
All right, well, man, maybe I can be a judge with you then.
Now, you can come. Yeah, you can come now. You invited.
But amen. Amen.
I'm turning you over to Lamont. It's on you, Lamont.
That's all okay. Let me tell you something. I don't know if I can do chicken that well myself, so I can't even say whether I will forget the grease or the flour or not, intentionally, or just say, okay, I don't feel like flour this chicken. Let's just get straight to the business. You know what I'm saying? So, well, anyway. We definitely like to give you a shout out, man. Appreciate you taking your time on Sunday evening and calling in. And we definitely enjoy your company. Definitely got to have you back on the show.
Bless God, man. I thank you guys for the opportunity.
No problem. I'm going to send you to my rowdy crowd right here. They definitely like you, too. I don't know where they at.
Amen.
That's our receptive proof gift right there. You know, that's our fiscal cliff proof gift right there.
Fiscal cliff proof gift.
There you go.
Amen.
We definitely appreciate you calling in, buddy.
Okay, well, thank you guys once more.
Okay, then we'll be talking.
All right, man. Y'all be blessed.
All right, God bless.
All right.
Awesome, dude.
Yeah, it was dope. I like him because he's genuinely about this life he's talking about. And, you can hear it. He doesn't want you to go through what he went through.
Exactly.
So his life is a sacrifice to that.
And that's why I wanted to bring up what I started to discuss last week about the so-called I'm too good, sanctified, above everything,
right,
person. Because there are, and I've been wanting to address this, and I never know how to. And now we have a forum, too. And the thing is, there are people out there, okay, we understand you want this walk. We're not talking about those people that don't want the walk.
Mm-hmm.
You want the walk, but at the same time, you cannot negate where you came from.
True.
Everybody came from somewhere, whether you're drug addicted, sex addicted, whatever situation is you came from something, okay? Because you didn't come out the womb clean. Mm-hmm. You didn't grow up clean. You did from dirt somewhere. And if you did, man, I need to touch your clothing. You know what I'm saying? So we, some of my friends, if they're listening, they'll know what we're talking about here. But there are people out there that act as if they're holier than thou, and we need to, I don't know how can we correct this, because what happens is, in my opinion, you, with that attitude, you scare off potential people that can be saved.
True.
Because they look at this person, they look, oh, no, can't, don't say that around me. Instead of saying, okay, if that happens around you, address it appropriately. Yeah,
appropriately.
And then move on.
Mm-hmm.
But don't act as if you never heard these words. Don't act as if you never came from dirt, because we all come from some type of dirt. You know, so I don't know how to move about this from here, but I just wanted to put that out there. And we need to kind of get off that type of soapbox, because if you think about it, you have the Seventh-day Adventists, you have the Jehovah's Witness. And these guys, they go out and about. They live their life, but at the same time, they have their literature, and they pass it out to you. Okay. They're not pretending to be, I am the greatest thing to slice bread. No, they say, hey, did you know Jehovah, da 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 da? In the most passionate, calm way. And even if people treat those people wrong, they say, okay, thank you, have a nice day. But we have Christians supposed to be holier than thou. And they admit this type of behavior, people don't want to deal with them. So then they take that type of person and say that's what all Christians are like.
True.
You know, and we, you know, everybody knows, you know, sometimes if someone don't want to do something, they quit to put everything in the bag anyway. Just like when... some people that don't want to deal with black folks, they take one person and they put all black folks in that bag. And someone don't want to deal with a white person, they take one bad situation and then they deal with a white person, and then they put everybody in that bag. And we can't move about that way.
You said two things that you said a lot of stuff. You know, I ain't taking nothing away from what you said. You said two things that were very, very powerful, and I want to break it down in layman's terms. One thing you said, it was you can learn from everybody. Don't discount who you can learn from, because when you said the Jehovah's Witnesses, they're passionate, they come out, this is how they are, you slam the door in their face, well, have a nice day, and they go to the next house. They don't quit on their faith or their belief or their walk because the door gets closed. So that right there is very powerful, because how often do one door close, we get discouraged and we leave our faith? How often does that happen? And on top of that, how often are we passionate? Because we can't just be, yeah, Jesus is good, and then go on and, you know, expect people to get saved or to tighten up when they're around you. So definitely one thing that stood out so much is that you can learn from everybody. You know, look at how they do with their thing, and we need to maximize how we're doing it. You know, and the second thing, you know, another thing that you said that was very, very powerful to me was just the fact that I was telling another artist, I said how important for us that we, every time we get on the stage or every time we minister or every time we do something, that we bring our best. It's very important because, as you know, as a gospel rappers, are like the most shunned down right now in the music industry. And the reason for that is you got the hip-hop who don't want to mess with us because, like, oh, they on that holy tip, man, you can't smoke, you can't drink, you can't do this around them. So that's on the hip-hop, the secular side. On the church side, you got the church who has not accepted rap yet. They haven't accepted Christian rap yet. So they're rejecting it as well.
So with that being said, when a Christian artist, preferably a rapper, when they get the opportunity to be on a stage, whether it be a club or a bar or something, or whether it be the altar at a church, they have to bring their best because that could be the last opportunity they get. And if one artist, one gospel artist comes in and he's trash, say a trash one comes through, next you know, all the gospel artists are trash. Every Christian rapper is trash now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important as a rapper, and at this, but it's this metaphor to what you were saying as a Christian. But it's important as that rapper is that you got to bring your best. And when you're not on point, you don't need to go. My brother used to tell me this all the time. You know, he's in jail right now, but he still tells me. He says, bro, don't, if you don't plan on showing out, don't show up. Because every time we show up, we show out. So if you don't plan on bringing your best, don't go. Straight up. Because it's too much at stake right now. And not only that, you represent all of us. So everywhere I go, I'm representing Lamont. I'm representing D. Slate. This is the Covenant Cafe. Then you got, I'm representing God. I'm representing everybody on the Poetic Lace team. I'm representing all of these people. I'm representing my family. I'm representing my mom, my sister, her husband. I'm representing their name. I'm representing all these people. So everywhere I go, I have to show up and I have to show out.
Mm. And we have to, man.
Yeah.
I mean, and like I said, I don't know how to, that's my thing. I don't know how to positively address those situations when it comes across me, because personally, I don't like it because it's not true. You're not being true to the form.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You're not being realistic.
Mm.
You know, that's just like you telling, if you have kids, that's like me. I have two girls.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like me telling them, I've never made a mistake in life, so you should never make a mistake.
Sure.
Really? No. No. They, you know, kids gonna be kids. When I was their age, I did the same thing they're doing. You know what I mean? So my parents corrected me. You know what I mean? So I'm going to correct them so they won't do some of the same things I did, you know, coming up. You know, so it's just that when I see those things, when they come across me, it's like, no, that's not true. You need to take a different approach, you know. And I do understand that you definitely, sometimes you want to forget that bad path, but sometimes that bad path, the path that got you is what got you to where you are. Because apparently somewhere down the line you said, I cannot do this any longer. Hopefully that's what you said.
Hmm.
You know, currently I'm reading this Bible version that's on my phone, and they have different plans that you can work on. And like this one I'm working on now, it specifically says change before you have to change.
Mm.
And you know, there are people who change because they were in a car accident or they lost a house. They had a death in the family, and they started to realize, oh, they're losing a limb, they're disfigured, and then they say, oh, man, I need to change my ways. This particular plan that I'm working on now is, you know, you're reading different verses, and they give you different devotionals to read, and it's basically saying change before you have to change.
Mm.
You know, change before the worst happens. Not to say the worst is still not going to happen, because you are tried. You know what I mean? But the thing is, you want to be able to have change your view or change your lifestyle before those things come, because when they do come, you are more able to handle them in a most diplomatic way. Period. You know, so.
Go ahead.
No, that's pretty much it.
You said something, it was kind of like a question, and I kind of heard an underlying question more so, is when you see these things, how do you address it?
Yeah.
You pretty much address everything with truth and love. My little sister, my mom was talking to my sister, this was sometime last week, and my sister, mean, she's learned to mean. She'll tell you straight up how she feels. And my mom was like, why would you say that? Well, at least I'm telling the truth. there's a way to handle everything, truth and love. So it's like, example, so if you say, Lamont, hate me, then you yell. Like, yeah. like you can address it in a way of, you know, Lamont, sometimes when you yell, it kind of startles me. Can you, you know, just making you, like, not really yell. You know, it's a way that you could say things, or, like, if you catch a Christian slipping, you don't want to put them out. First thing is, you know, the Bible talks about don't put them out blast in front of all these people. You know, you put them to the side. One thing, you put them to the side and make sure whatever the thing is that you're addressing, make sure that Scripture can back you up. Because you don't want to tell nobody. Like, example, I've heard drug dealers try to correct people, but their correction ain't really what wisdom. It's just their preference. So with the same thing as with the Christian faith, when you put them to the side, make sure Scripture backs it up. So if somebody's example, I had to deal with somebody because they cursed people out. And they said, well, I cursed them out because, you know, you got to tighten them up. The Word talks about how you shouldn't let nobody walk over you, and I'm the head and I'm not the tail. They use Scripture, right? They're going off. But I had to tell them, I like what the Bible says, do not use profanity. Do not have a foul mouth. On top of that, your language that you're using is not of love. Those are not love words. You're basically tearing them down. There's a correct way to do it. On top of that, the Bible says, vengeance is not mine, but is of the Lord's. So why are you focused on retaliating? So that's what I mean by Scripture backing what you're saying to them up. But also, like I said, truth and love. So you're sharing truth, but you're doing it with love. Like, man, you have to calm down on, you know, how you're talking to people, bro. It's kind of going to push people away, and you're tearing them down. It's not really pulling you closer to God, but separating you. You know, there's a way to say it in a manner. But to be blind, to act blind to it, after a while, I kind of convince you, because I know there's been things that I just turned my head to, because I'm like, man, I'm not even finna go off on them, or I'm not even finna straighten them out, because all it's going to do is they're going to keep doing it, whatever, whatever. But after a while, God was pricking my heart. He was like, you know what they're doing is wrong. Why haven't you said anything yet? You're just as guilty. If you watch somebody that constantly sins, that keep going wrong, and you don't say anything, their blood is on your hands. Because that is our assignment, to give a correction, a form of correction, to keep them from going to hell. We don't want our brothers going to hell. We don't want anybody going to hell, to be honest with you, because hell is not what's up. That's not something I want to see for anybody, not even somebody, quote-unquote, my enemy, if you want to call it that, because it's not what's up. It is ongoing terror.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like an obligation to help your brother. Tell them, like, what you're doing is not pleasing to the Lord. And that's based off of Scripture. That's nice. You know what I mean? That's a way to say it. But know who your people are, too, because you got some people who don't understand that language. You know, some people who don't understand lingo that's biblical like that. You got some people who don't understand slang. Then you got some people who you got to, even the Bible talks about, Timothy talks about how there's some people you got to snatch up, and there's some people you got to caress. So some people, you got to pull them straight to the side and tell them, you know, what you're doing is wrong, it's not. And there's some people you got to caress. You got to slowly walk them through what's going on so they can have understanding, because everybody can't take it the same. You got some people that's very sensitive, and then you got some people who are just thick-skinned, and they need it rough.
Yeah. Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, hearing it live here on the Covenant Cafe, we going in today. It's the second week into the 2013. Are you still doing what you did last year? Are you not changing? Mm-hmm. Are you already giving up on your so-called New Year's resolutions? Let's talk about it after these messages, because we definitely got to pay our bills. So what we're going to do, and poetic don't know what I'm about to do sometimes. So I want to address our New Year's resolutions for those who didn't tune in last week. They're gonna address those right after this commercial break. Of course, we gotta pay our bills. We gotta keep on air. You know what I mean? Yeah,
definitely.
All right.
Do you have an event you're planning and need a keynote speaker? Then the Speakers Bureau Institute is the agency for you. Actress Tasha Smith partners with RKD Music and Talent Management to bring an array of celebrity speakers, artists, and athletes for your event. Book names like Kim Coles, Tasha Smith, Tisha Campbell-Martin, Vanessa Bell Calloway, LaToya Luckett, Lisa Leslie, Flex Alexander, Leela James, Cheryl Lee Ralph, and more. Whether it's a conference, workshop, seminar, or college event, SBI has provided a phenomenal lineup of speakers that will cater to your event. For more information on booking a speaker for your next event, call 818-571-0998 or visit rkdmusic.com. SBI is a subsidiary of RKD Music and Talent Management, located in Beverly Hills, California.
Attention all shoonistas. Looking for a hot stiletto? Are you addicted to sexy shoes? Make a fashion statement and check out the Stiletto Diva at www.thestilettodiva.com. We have what you need. The Stiletto Diva is committed to bringing you a variety of affordable, quality styles to help complete the sexy in you. We're here to assist you with bringing out the ultimate diva from head to soul. True divas wear stilettos. Visit us at www.thestilettodiva.com to find the perfect pair or for information about booking a party.
Welcome back to the Covenant Cafe. It's your host, Lamont Ferguson and
Poetic Lace.
Here live, Blog Talk Radio. Going in, how it? Now,
mm-hmm.
We talked about changing before you have to change. Now, everybody sets these goals for their New Year's resolutions, whether it's to lose weight, gain financial freedom, stuff like that. But there's a couple of questions that I have. Like, what exactly is financial freedom? You need to determine what financial freedom is and not some absurd number. You know, we say go in hard on your goals and dreams, but also you want to go in hard on your goals and dreams as well as make them realistic at the same time.
True.
We all want to be millionaires, okay? If it was that easy, the people that have these multi-level programs or these, what you call, fortune tellers that you have on these corners, they say they can determine your future. If they could, why don't they have the winning lottery ticket? You know what I'm saying? So my thing is this. If you are wavering from your goal, like I said, whether it's financial freedom, whether it's losing weight, actually, I know somebody, they have a very simple goal, and it's basically she wants to make sure this year she remembers everybody's birthday, regardless if they talk to her or not, and she's going to send them a birthday card this year. You know, and you think about it, at the same time, it caught my attention. The reason why it caught my attention because it's very simple. And it's very tangible because, there are our members in our family that we don't talk to, we don't speak to on a regular basis. But what she's going to do is even for whatever reason it is, but, talk to her for a negative reason or because of life happens. You know, we all busy, we all, working, got jobs, got our own career goals, raising families and stuff like that. But just a simple thing to say, hey, I'm going to remember your birthday this year. You know, and for some people, that mean a lot when they receive a birthday card. You know, so that's her goal. Let's remember, set our goals, set your goals, and make sure they're tangible, something that's reachable. Me personally, it's whatever I do, be the best at what I do. Whether it's performing, whether it's writing, whether it's acting, directing, whatever it is, I'm doing at that moment, do it at 100%, 110%, and not have that no matter what the situation may be. Because, you can go into a situation, and as a performer, you may have a bad day that day or the day before, and you're like, man, I'm going to go rock the show. And then you get to the show, and it's only a handful of people. You know what I'm saying? You're like, man, this is a continuation of my bad day. not really, because for some fact that you're still able to perform, whether it's in front of three people or 300, you're still able to perform.
Yeah.
You know, so, but, you know, I hope everybody's holding fast until their goals. What about you, Lace? Are you still holding fast on yours?
I definitely am. It's so funny because going into the year, the Lord really spoke to me on saying, to whom much is given, much is required. And with that being said, you know, looking at everything, you know, extremely blessed from God is really good. So it's a push, you know, to do better. Like, I got to be better than last year. I'm determined to do better than last year. That's working harder than last year. My relationship with God has to be closer. What I'm hearing from the Lord, like, my discernment has to be more on point. And in order for my discernment to be more on point, in layman's terms, I need to know the difference between God and Satan. And in order for me to know the difference between God and Satan, I have to be in his word. I got to know the Bible more. I have to do better in it. You know what I mean? I can't get to a point of being so comfortable where, oh, I'm good. I ain't got to grow no more. I know enough. That's not what's up, because when you hit that point, you're dead. Life is always, and they, even in business, it says the one element that's going to happen no matter what is change. This is business, straight up business. When I example of change, when the industry came out, you know, they were growing potatoes and everything, and you had the windmills generating electricity. You had little things like that going on. Now, for those who thought that's how it was going to be, they got left behind, because as time went on, you know, your cell phones came out.
Mm-hmm.
Cell phones came out, and then next thing you know, you have digital games now. Things went from outside in the natural to digital. You know, it's an ever-growing change. And for all, if you don't know how to work a computer now, it's very hard for you to get a job. Because that's how much has changed. Before, you could get by on labor by paperwork and signing papers. Now everything is Microsoft. If you can't work Microsoft, you have a problem getting a job, because there's a change. So with that being said, that's how it is in this growing with Christ. You get new revelations that are old revelations. Like, you learning him more. That's what I'm basically getting at. And you can't get to a point where you feel comfortable, because you will get left behind, because there's something that always needs to be cleaned up about your life. There's something. The word says, all fall short of the glory of God. So there's something. So with that being said, I'm really holding fast to my goals for the year, as far as, you know, fasting more, praying more, studying more, just doing better, being a better person, reaching out to more people. You know, doing outside of the, you know, you have a tendency of getting so consumed with your work and everything that you're supposed to do, to the point where you start neglecting people. And I don't want to fall down that path, as far as, like, I'm so caught up. Like, it's not even that I'm hurting nobody's feeling, but we were called to be the light. So if we're called to be the light, you know, we have to take that time out to speak to somebody or to tell somebody hello, or we can't be consumed with, oh, man, what's going on, to where you just walk right by somebody who probably needed you to say hello, because everybody that spoke to them today was very mean or very rude. And you could be one hello away from suicide. One hug, one handshake, one smile away. And that's how real it is. And when we start realizing that our lives itself is not about us, you know, things start to change around you. You kind of start to appreciate life just a little bit more. Because it's a selfish thing. If you think about it, all sin is selfish. It's a selfish act. Like suicide. Suicide is very selfish, because on hindsight, just think about it like this. You commit suicide, and who's going to deal with your burial? Whose bill and stuff does that fall on? On top of that, who are you in somebody's life? I think about that often. I know you kind of do too, as a parent and just as a leader. Like, if I was to quit doing what I was doing, you know, what soul, what life, what person out there am I affecting in a positive manner that's keeping them to keep pushing? But if I quit being selfish, what are they going to do? Murder.
Absolutely.
You know, you kill somebody because you're tired of them. That's selfish. You're mad because you're not getting your way. Or you're mad about, so you're not pleased with something, so you take somebody else's life. It's selfish. Covenant, to want somebody else's possession, is selfish. Blasphemy, to think that you're above God, selfish. You know, so that's what it is. It's really tearing down, pulling close to the guy, it causes you to deny yourself and to want him more and to be real. And that's what I definitely want more of. I want more of God and less of me.
Because Satan, when he was Lucifer, when he was an angel in heaven, he was at a stage of perfection. And even though he was close to perfection, if not perfect, iniquity still found him. So as a mere man, what do you think iniquity can do to me? And that's not, I don't want to join him in a lake of fire. I'm not looking to join him. And to me to admit that I'm weak, it makes me strong. This flesh is weak. So God is strong in me. Because if God is strong in me, I can do all things through Christ.
Absolutely.
These are a lot of things that that cross my mind, just yielding to what God wants. Man, I don't want y'all to hear me on the show talking about, man, I messed up. And I definitely don't want to be right back at God's throne again. Give me, Lord, I ain't going to do it again. Like, what? You said that last year. And the year before that. And the year before that. Like, sometimes get old. You in the Christian faith, dog, we got to be way past where we used to be. There are some prayers that should not be crossing my mind no more. God, can you please give me the money for this? What? It's some things I should be above now. God, forgive me, man. I didn't even mean to call a girl and get, what? Well, I delivered you from that. I thought you was delivered from that. It's something we got to be past. And I refuse to go backwards.
Mm-hmm. And ladies and gentlemen, before we go into the song, it's a very appropriate song. And the thing is, you can't give up. You can't give up. Nothing is easy. If it's something worth fighting for, fight for. If it's not, let it go. You know what I mean? So here on the Covenant Cafe, if you're going to play Smokey Norfolk, I Need You Now. This is your host with my purpose at hand.
Poetic Life.
Not a second or another minute. Not an hour or another day. But at this moment with my arms outstretched, I need you to make a way, as you have done so many times before. Through a window or an open door, I stretch my hand to you. Come rescue me, I need you right away. I need I need you now, Lord.
That's such an awesome song.
I love that song. It's so powerful. I'm gonna listen to it when we get off the air. Like, please don't forget when we talk on the phone after the show.
Wait, ladies and gentlemen, that song is beautiful. It's a beautiful song, and it's always, and you need to play that song, always. Now, we haven't touched on weird news today, so let's go ahead and touch that, because we do have another possible interview about 8 o'clock. So let's go ahead and touch upon this here.
Hey, can I throw something in your weird news before you kill it? All right, this is what I want to find out. It's not really weird, but it's very interesting, right? So the headliner is Lotto ticket winner, poison body found. So the body of a million dollar lottery winner will be exhumed for additional testing after technology revealed that an Illinois man, 1 month he won the lottery, next month he was found dead.
Yes.
And it kind of tripped me out because I wanted to share this because I was sitting there when I was looking at the story and I was like, you know what? I said, if I win the lottery, I ain't telling nobody. I'm going to tell my people not who's close to me, but you're not going to catch me taking pictures, you know, lottery ticket winner. Pictures or none of that. Or on the name on the website. Like, no, I want everything anonymous. Nothing. You're not even.
Yeah,
there's no clue.
They found cyanide.
Yeah. Crazy. But go ahead now. Continue.
That is crazy. Yeah, have you thinking.
And his body was, he was poisoned. His death was poisoned. So it's not like he, you know, somebody just shot him or he accidentally tripped over down the stairs. Like, it was like a planned murder.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, they don't know whether it's a family member, friend, or it could have been a conspiracy. You never know.
Right.
So
exactly.
That's what they're trying to figure out. Now, check this out. The headline on this story is Tap Water Catches on Fire in Debbie and Jason Klein's Ohio home due to methane levels.
Mm.
The methane levels were so high in this area, the water, you turn the water on, you can light it on fire.
Mm, I've heard things like that happening.
Yes. Mm. So a few weeks ago, one Ohio family was shot when their tap water caught on fire. Debbie Klein told the station that the lighting a candle near the running water that she was. Okay, let me go back here. She told the station that she was lighting a candle near running water, the faucet, and it set off a huge explosion. The entire sink up to the ceiling. The sink blew up.
Crazy.
The county woman said that she had previously noticed water fizzing. What they found was dangerously high levels of methane, which is a highly flammable gas, in the water. They found that in the water. Now, a natural gas company began drilling near the home 6 months ago. NBC4 reported. And the clients suspected that the company may be responsible for the flammable water. Now, methane gas occurs naturally in the ground and can seep into wells when the ground is disturbed. Now, there's a Duke University study that says natural gas drilling to high methane levels in water in 2011. Now, prior to the drilling, the methane levels were detected in the client's tap water, which comes from a well. Okay, so the tap water comes from a well where there were 9 milligrams per liter, which is considered safe. Now the levels have spiked to 22 milligrams. According to a methane fact sheet from the Water Systems Council, the levels between 10 and 28 milligrams should be regularly monitored. And well owners may wish to consider treatment to lower the methane levels. So the client said that because purchasing a methane filter will cost around $8,000, for now they're going to drink bottled water. They're still going to be bathing straight from the tap. So they're still going to be bathing in this stuff, which is horrible. We don't know the consequences of sitting in gas water. We just don't have a choice. Methane in drinking water is not usually considered a health threat, according to the Water Systems Council. The real danger occurs when the gas escapes from the water and builds up in the air, especially in poorly ventilated or confined areas. The council's fact sheet states that in addition to presenting explosion hazards, methane in the air acts as an asphyxiant, which means it can displace air and can cause breathing and other health problems.
Mm.
So now that's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, you don't have no choice. You have to wash up. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
What are you going to do? Now this next story is pretty interesting. Warren Drone, if I pronounce his name right, and Stephen Boyce walked around Portland with assault rifles to advocate gun rights here in the neighborhood. Pretty much this is what happened. You know, right now there's a big thing with the NRA and everybody talking about, carrying weapons and whether you should or should not do it. So these two Portland men attempted to raise gun awareness Wednesday afternoon by walking the streets with assault rifles strapped to their backs.
Mm.
Now, they took a Second Amendment stroll, which caused several panicked, people to dial 911. Of course, who wouldn't? Now, we support everyone's constitutional rights, but we ask that they exercise them responsibly, Simpson told Associated Press. Anyone walking around with a visible firearm is going to generate calls from concerned citizens that we have to respond to. That takes the resources away from potentially more serious incidents. It means that if they responded to these guys, something else can be going down.
Yeah.
And because, they want to exercise their,
I agree.
Their amendment. So neither of the two seem interested in those concerns. We're not threatening anyone, they told the television station there. We don't have that kind of criminal behavior. He also told the station that he hoped people would approach them to talk rather than calling police. Really? You're walking up the street with an assault rifle and you want me to come and ask you about why you carrying that? Not in this day and age. You know what I mean? With everything going down, you expect me to come to you and talk to you instead of calling the police? That's insane. So the story goes, what they really should do is observe the person to determine if the person is aggressive. We're not doing anything threatening to anyone. Now, he isn't just taking this message to the streets of Portland. He also has a YouTube channel marked under the name Marked Guardian, where he explains his thoughts about gun rights. The page also includes nearly 100 videos on YouTube that show him walking around in public places strapped with a loaded assault rifle on his back and a pistol on his side, and all in plain view. In his bio page, he explains, I'm reading this verbatim, to normalize firearms in public, and in my opinion, I believe that carrying a rifle daily will bring a strong culture in my area, end quote. Law officials in the Pacific Northwest are familiar with this sentiment, especially in Medford, Oregon, where top officials in the 103-member police force, that's all they have in their force, 103 people. Now, just think, if they call enough of those guys to their attention, you don't have enough police to go around, and you're walking around with a foot rifle, and you want people to talk to you instead of calling the cops, essentially.
Right.
Now, he also says, when they describe these interactions, they'd rather have have people come and talk to me. Now, in addition, officers receive training specifically on how to approach this gentleman and others in so-called open carry movements. So there are movements going on that's called open carry movements, which promotes the ability to openly carry guns. However, Tim Donnie Medford, deputy police chief, told the website that not everyone openly carries a weapon will be as, you know, benign as Drew. So everyone is not as calm as this guy. So we go out on every one of these calls, according to the cops. They call every time someone calls them about this, they go out every time.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows, the next one may be the one that's an active shooting. So the police are using their energy to go to these locations where they're at. They have to continue to go because you don't know when the next time is going to be serious or not. Now, my thing with this is I think something needs to be done. I think they need to be fined every time a cop goes out there.
Yeah.
Bottom line, because you only got 103 people on the police force. So what are you doing walking around with this on your back? You know, you're taking away from the force.
I guess the hardest thing about that is, like, you find them, but you could be facing a potential lawsuit because they're just exercising their rights.
Yeah. But,
it's hard. That's tough. You know, I agree with you. I definitely feel you because some action needs to be fulfilled.
You know, I think it may be worth, you know, the lawsuit. I don't know. I mean, I'm just looking at, they're small towns, so they may not have the financial backing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the line has to be drawn somewhere because you only have 103 people on your squad, on your team.
Right.
Now, you may send out three people because you say, hey, these guys got assault rifles. Oh, it's the same old guy. But then you say, I can't just send three people. What if this time they're going off? So you got to send a little bit more. You know, so I don't know. I mean, I think it's a fine line that they're walking.
Yeah.
This town needs to do something about it because people are still going.
Yeah.
People are not going to not call because the time you don't call, something may go down, and then you're looking like, okay, we should have called.
Exactly.
I
agree.
Now on to the last story here, which is a hilarious story: human buttholes. Japan's Cuddle Club debuts new service. Check this out. Very interesting. Customers seek some tender love and care in Tokyo now have another option to choose from at Japanese Cuddle Club Human Butt Pillows. For $11 per minute, patrons of the co-sleeping specialty shop can ask for the Oshiri Mikuro Butt Pillow service and rest their heads on the behinds of its female staff. The club opened in Tokyo in September, and the business has been doing well. Go figure. Since they recently opened up, another branch. Customers must pay an admission fee starting at 3,000 yen, which comes to $34.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have the option to purchase premium services such as foot massage or change of clothes. Interesting. And now they have released a video on their video sharing website. This gentleman wears a mask, and when they have a new cuddle option is offered, he tries out the human butt pillow service along with some of the Cuddle Club total options for customers who are hoping to spend a bit less at the Cuddle Club. They also offer the option of laying in a female employee's lap. Now, that costs $11 for 3 minutes. Japan isn't the only place where people can pay to cuddle. Apparently, in Pinfield, New York, clients of Jackie Samuel's Snuggery can pay $60 an hour for an innocent snuggle in bed.
Hmm.
Now, you're playing with fire.
Yes.
You're playing with fire. Okay. The incident starts off innocent. Okay. These places may be innocent. But then you will have a string of them offering additional services that may not be really well accepted. And we all know what those services are.
Right.
Now, like, $11 to lay in somebody's lap?
I'm talking about the rear end.
I'm getting there, too.
What kind of fish?
You're paying $34 in our money to lay on someone's butt.
What kind of fetish? What do you get out of that?
Apparently, there are lonely people out there, and they just want to lay on someone's backside.
So, I'm the type of person, I'm very analytical. I think about all these little things, right? So what if they fart? Do I have some kind of infection? Because I didn't want them to fart.
I don't know. Do they get money back after that? Because,
I would be very disturbed, to be honest with you.
I done paid $34 or 3,000 yen or whatever type of yen I done paid, and you done...
Since we're going to play with it, I'm not racist or I follow the stereotypes, but I've seen rear ends of Japanese women. And it's like, you ever play basketball? Minus the rim, there's no curvage.
Right? Not at all.
My thing is, it's like, I ain't saying all of them or anything, but, I'm just saying. Y'all know.
$34, and they kept saying additional services, but it never clearly said what those additional services were. So I don't want to assume what those additional services were, but you're playing with fire, and you're that close to a situation where you're paying money for cuddling services. Who's gonna say, hey man, okay, I gave you $50. What can you do for me? So like I said, you're playing with fire.
You know what? I finally understand why they have so many issues with population. Why if you have too many kids, you can get killed. Like over there, your kid can get killed or get carried off. They some freaks.
Yeah.
They are freaks. They really are doing it over there. And that's because when you get to the point where, like, okay, let's find new ways to get people aroused or to satisfy needs and not need to satisfy wants or desires.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at a loss of words. Wow.
And then they have a place in New York. So it's not across seas.
That's crazy.
Absolutely insane. So, what's going to happen when, when everything goes awry, like you said, that's funny. Ladies and gentlemen, it's going down here. When it comes to cafe, cuddle services, that is hilarious. You know what? We're going to get into a song, Good and Bad, by Jay Moss, here on the Covenant Cafe. And we got to do it. We got to go to Jay Moss, because this can go awry fast, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Covenant Cafe, your host, Mike Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
And we're going to play Jay Moss, Good and Bad.
You loved me through my good, you loved me through my bad, you loved me through my good, and you loved me through my bad, Jesus. You didn't erase my future because of my past. I'm glad you loved me through my good and my bad, through my good and my bad. You loved me through my good, you loved me through my bad. Didn't erase my future, hallelujah, because of my past. Thank you. I'm glad you loved me through my good and my bad.
You loved me through my good and my bad.
So glad you loved me.
You loved me through my good.
Never took your love away.
You loved me through my bad. Yeah. You didn't erase my future.
Thank God you didn't write me off. I even did some things I know you despise, God.
You love me through my good
and my bad, yeah.
You love me through my good and my bad.
God, I know sometimes we make you ashamed.
You love me through my good.
Thank you for never giving us what we deserve,
you love
God.
Me through my bad.
After falling again and again, every blessing and request that you granted, Lord,
because of my bad.
Could have withheld, but mercy intervened.
You love me through my good.
Through the rebellion.
You love me through my good.
Through all of my shortcomings.
You love me through my good.
And this is my favorite right here. You keep on loving me. Can somebody help me? You keep on,
keep on
loving me.
Loving.
You keep on,
keep on
loving me. Right on loving me through the good and the bad. You never stop loving me through the lessons learned. You show me we disobey, we run away from you, bring shame to your name, but your love remains. Who can love me like you do, Lord? What you are to me, no man.
Y'all all know what it's time for. It is time for the poetry spot here on the Covenant Cafe. The host that's going to be coming up for the poetry spot is your man, Poetic Lace. We'll go to our intro, and he will be right with you.
This is the poetry spot, and I'm Isis, the goddess of poetry. Flow it free into the universe, taping down the tongue, and speak new languages. Leave feeling its freedom ringing in your soul. Flow it freely, no, leave that which prohibits you to be anything else but free flowing in the breeze. Flow it free until your conscious freezes with zest and less stress to confine its motionless mind, dimming light till you are blind. No, let's rewind. Go back in time when it would only cost a penny for your thoughts. Now it's a dime. Flow it free. Do not be reckless and intertwined with bottomless pits of naked mind. Be not afraid to take a peek into my mind, because only in this place and time, within the fine line, will you find a peace of mind, and you will then be able to flow it free. Now, leave me.
This is the D poetry spot.
It is the poetry spot, son.
Hey.
Oh, man. For some reason, I like saying that. Yo, son. we all know the danger zone this guy has inspired it, that this young man has. Lace. Lace. Mm.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Do you have something for us to listen to today, or what you got for us?
So I have a poem for you, and of course a song. The poem, this was sparked up because I was sitting down in a chair at someone's house, and I saw a bird in a cage, and it was just singing and singing and singing. And I was just like, wow, you know, you're not outside with other birds flying and stuff, but you're so happy. So I just wrote from there, because I asked myself, why is this caged bird singing? Why is he so beautiful still? So anyway, somebody asked me, why does the caged bird sing? Well, it's because he's thankful for everything. He may be locked up, but he gets free meals, protection from those cats and the air he still feels. What's real, though he may not fly, he still hopes and flaps his wings as if he does in his own time. So that bird, really, is he caged up? Or are we jealous and build a lot of rage up? We have men who were called to be kings and women who were meant to be queens, but we can't see them on the scene because everyone is focused on getting the green. So they build teams to help them go after their selfish dreams, but all the while they're turning everyone around them into some kind of fiends. We have dope fiends and sex fiends, money fiends, power fiends, and drama fiends. These are people who at one time lived a childhood that was clean but lost their innocence because somebody went after the cream. Whether it was drug transactions or taking a virginity, the action may seem deep, but it's filled with simplicity. It's only two ways you can be in life, good or evil. It's important to know that you're going to live three. You're going to live twice, heaven or hell. You choose, but you can't have both. All these deeds will be accounted for. Hope you're on the right boat. Contrary to popular belief, you can only serve one master. If it's not God through Jesus Christ, then serving the devil, then you're serving the devil. To make it deeper, you go to church and the pastor says, throw your hands up and praise the Lord. You go to the club and the DJ says, throw the hands up and say, F the other side. Both are promoting praise, but the question is, to whom? One is towards salvation and the other one is towards doom. It's time to open your eyes and see that the life is really is, that the joy that you desire is inside. That this really is. So bird that sings is locked up in a cage. I admire him because he learned to be content no matter what's the stage.
Awesome. That's dope. And before we get into your song, you know, we always got to the inspirational story. This one It's called Boy Who Lost His Temper. Okay. Now, this is not written by Poetic Lace. It's not written by Lamont Ferguson or The Covenant Cafe. It's written by an inspirational poems. That's what it says. And you can find this particular piece on inspirational-poems.net. It's not mine. I'm not claiming ownership. But it goes like this. There once was a little boy who had a bad temper. His father gave him a bag of nails and told him that every time he lost his temper, he must hammer a nail into the back of the fence. The first day, the boy had driven 43 nails into the fence. Over the next few weeks, as he learned to control his anger, the number of nails hammered daily gradually dwindled down. He discovered it was easier to hold his temper than to drive those nails into the fence. Finally, the day came when the boy didn't lose his temper at all. He told his father about it, and the father suggested that the boy now pull out one nail for each day that he was able to hold his temper. These days passed, and the young boy was finally able to tell his father that all the nails were gone. The father took his son by the hand and led him to the fence. He said, "You have done well, my son, but look at the holes in the fence. The fence will never be the same. When you say things in anger, they leave a scar just like this one. You can put a knife in a man and draw it out, but it won't matter how many times you say, 'I'm sorry,' the wound will still be there. A verbal wound is as bad as a physical one." Wow.
That's powerful on the fact that, we have to control our emotions. I heard a story I want to share real quick. It kind of piggybacks off of that. I heard a story of this guy. He was a father, and he was working on his car. He had a hammer in his hands working on his car, and he had a son. His son looked up to him and loved him to death, right? His son was a little boy. It had to be maybe 5 years old, 6 years old, little boy. And while dude was working on a car, the son, he was working on a car too. He was carving into the car that daddy just got painted, brand new car that he just worked out, brand new paint job and everything. He was carving something in the car. And out of anger, he went to hit his son on the hand, whoop him, pop him on the hand for doing that, and he was hitting him. And he was so angry and blinded by his emotions that he didn't realize that the hammer was still in his hand. So he was hitting the child, so he severely, shattered every bone in his hand. So when he finally blacked out and realized what was going on, he was like, he was tripping, and he looked at what the son was doing, and the son was carving, "I love my daddy so much, he's the world's greatest dad," in the car.
Wow.
So out of that, he rushed into the hospital. Doctors tell him that he shattered every bone in his hand and his arm, and he damaged his nerves to where the little boy would never use his arm again. That it overheard him talking to the mom saying, I love daddy so much. Why would he do this to me? In his grievance, daddy went home and committed suicide.
Wow.
So the thing that's crazy about all of that, hearing the story you just shared and just hearing this one, it's about how we can't let our emotions control us. Because if we become blinded by these emotions, these scars, just like you said, they are almost forever in some sense, Like, this little boy has lost his arm, and he lost his dad, all from one little temper tantrum.
Over materialistic things. Wow. So, he enraged. He forgot he had the hammer in his hand.
Forgot he had the hammer in his hand. Shattered, and this little boy shattered his bones and destroyed his nerves.
And then now he even lost his dad. Yep. And his aunt, the use of his aunt.
Crazy.
That is, wow, that's sad. Okay, we need to, it's kind of hard, that's definitely a hard segue into your song. But the song that we're going to play is Assassin. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, assassination is basically, in some sense, that we are at war against those kind of actions, where we won't allow the world to cause the world or material things to cause us to forget who we are and who we belong to. This is just my speech and my prophecy of, like, I'm willing to die for God at all costs, even if y'all don't like it or not, and I'm not going back to who I used to be.
Hmm. Okay, there it is here in the Covenant Cafe. Assassin by Poetic Lace. Fascination.
This just in. Down in Jacksonville, Florida, there's been a shooting at the God First Election. Alleged victim, 23-year-old Poetic Lace, was shot at multiple times. Witness say they don't know where the shots came from, but they think Poetic knew this was going to happen. His message wasn't, I have a dream, but of equal importance. Over to you.
It's war time. I got my mind on the fight, and I'm fighting blind. I'm using faith as my leverage. I don't need denial. Listen as the guns ring. It's time for change. I would die for the crisis you can maintain. There goes my death with some bullets and cracks. All of them flying fast, straight ripping my chest. They want my head. I give them war instead. Christ bled. So I ain't making my bed. I'm a fight for everything that's right. So I reach to my left for my weapon made for test. But first, let's get back to my murderous death. As I lay with blood dripping from my mouth, I repent for my sins, so I wind up down south. The bullets can, cause it's God first I seen. If you don't stand for something, you fall for anything. Assassination, I would die for the Lord. We have one accord. Got my mind made up, tell me what's toward. So I can fight to the death, leave nothing left. If this a game, I retire. It's assassination, I would die for the Lord. We have one accord. Got my mind made up, tell me what's toward. So I can fight to the death, leave nothing left. If this a game, I retire. It's a rap. Shot at me, they murdered me, man, I can't see. Ski mask on top of the towers, busting in the sleeve. Was it the way I walk, or the way I talk? I think it's vocal, cause I'm the one that's blind with y'all. Before I die, they ask me where my heart lies. It's kinda funny, cause they don't want it televised. I'm listening to these rappers and they got to tell it lies. I guess anything just to be capitalized. I ain't the type to do the criticize, but it's the lyrics doing the paralyze. They say they trapping, but they actually in the booth. In the streets, say that they act like I'm missing too. Lies in the same, and it's a prophesied. Say anything just for a career rise. Kids imitating rappers cause it sounds good, but it's really dropping lies like I actually would. Assassination, I would die for the Lord. We have one accord. Got my mind made up, tell me what's sword. So I can fight to the death, leave nothing left. If this a game, I retire. It's assassination, I would die for the Lord. We have one accord. Got my mind made up, tell me what's sword. So I can fight to the death, leave nothing left. If this a game, I retire. It's a rap. Shed a tear, I'm in a better place. I fought the good fight, my life wasn't waste. I kept running non-stop, got it in the race. The Trinity blessed me, evil for the glass. Every time I heard a gunshot, I thought about how our life stops. Physically, spiritually, or mentally, we're all slaves to the mind, hypothetically. Worried about the way you look, the way you dress, just to have another human impressed. So stressed for what? You're so blessed. Complaining so much, I wonder how you get rest. Before I died, I kept my Bible on me, cotton ready. But some scriptures that the devil chopping like confetti. I knew I died because the words that I spit. But before the flat line, I sent minutes to the pit. Assassination, I would die for the Lord. We have one accord. Got my mind made up, tell me what's sword. So I can fight to the death, leave nothing left. If this a game, I retire. It's assassination, I would die for the Lord. We have one accord. Got my mind made up, tell me what's sword. So I can fight to the death, leave nothing left. If this a game, I retire as a rep.
More on the story at 11.
Some fire.
Glory to God.
There's some fire there. And that's so appropriate. Now we have 5 minutes left in our show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a nice ride today.
This is the outro, so long, farewell. This ain't goodbye forever, but only time to tell. We had some funny moments, real talking interviews. Every Sunday, 7:30 Eastern time, we do this. Build you up, encourage you. This is the D-Hour Show, feel free to come on through. Lamont Ferguson, Poetic Lacey's are the host. From the east to the west, we rock at coast to coast. The Covenant Cafe, yeah, that is the name. We repping Jesus Christ. Yeah, we're unashamed. He died so we can live. So I'm steady boasting. I think that calls for tears. So I'm steady toasting. What's up, D Slade? That's the CEO. He's tapping on the glass. I guess it's time to go.